I have to be honest with you, I was jealous. I just sat there and said, man, I wish I had the skill to give someone who's blind sight. And as I reflected upon that, I realized that when we give a clear message of the gospel of grace, that's exactly what we're doing, even to a greater degree.
We have a special treat for you today on Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. We are fortunate to have Dr. Kenneth Yates in the studio with us today. He is one of our own. He is part of Grace Evangelical Society, and he lives out toward the East Coast, and he does a lot of ministry out there. Today, he's going to talk to us about his ministry recently that he did in Zambia. Let's take a listen to that as Dr. Bob Wilkin, Sean Lazar, and Dr. Kenneth Yates have a conversation.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're in the studio today with Dr. Ken Yates, and we just recorded a whole series about his book, Hebrews, Partners with Christ. Ken works for Grace Evangelical Society as our East Coast speaker and our international speaker, and that means when we have regionals on the East Coast of the continental U.S., you're usually there, right, Ken?
Yes, yeah, almost always.
You also speak at other conferences in that part of the world. For example, you were going to a chiropractor's conference.
Yes, there's the Christian Chiropractors Association. I spoke last year in Kansas City, and they're having their annual conference this year in Tennessee, and I'll be speaking there on aspects about the Book of Romans.
All right, very interesting. Now, you're also our international speaker, and that means you get to go overseas, and typically what you've been doing is teaching in Bible colleges overseas.
That's what I look for. What I find is that, particularly overseas, the students in the Bible colleges are not really exposed to free grace, certainly not free grace teachers, or it's rare that they are. So I look for opportunities to do that. And then when I'm over there, almost always I will preach in a church on one of the Sundays I'm there.
Now, you recently went to Zambia for, is it the third time that you were there?
Well, this is the third year I've done it. I did it 2 years ago. I was not able to go last year, but my daughter Catherine has gone with me each year. So we together, we've done it for 3 years, yes.
Now, where is Zambia in Africa?
It's kind of like the southern eastern part of Africa. It's near Victoria Falls, which is a huge tourist attraction. I didn't go there, but my daughter did.
All right, very neat. So tell us about the Bible college there.
Well, there's a Bible college there, and it's a real neat place because the students all work there. They raise their crops. They raise chickens. They build all the buildings themselves. And so basically, it's like a self-supporting college where the students there work for their tuition. They also have a medical clinic there. And this medical clinic, there's one doctor that there's permanently from the States. They deliver babies. They do HIV testing, which is a big problem there. And then they have what I would call special weeks. And when I was there this last time, they had eye clinics where they, for free, removed cataracts from 61 people while I was there.
Wow, that's amazing. So I imagine that there would be people coming to the clinic who were blind or virtually blind.
Yes, I don't know how the numbers break down, but there were people that came and had their cataracts removed that were completely blind. I remember the story of one man. He had been blind for 7 years. And the cost of cataract surgery over there is basically equivalent to 3 years' worth of salary for the average worker. So if you go blind with cataracts over there, you just remain blind. So it was just exciting to see these men and women who were blind. And then after this surgery, we're able to see again.
Can you imagine? I mean, not being able to see and then walking out of a clinic and you can see? That is amazing.
And it's also amazing that while they're there doing physical surgery to restore physical sight, you're there doing spiritual surgery to restore spiritual sight, right?
That's the way I looked at it. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this on the show today is to let our listeners know that as free grace people, that is exactly what we're doing. I leave material there. They're exposed to the GES website and the students that are there who have very, very little exposure to free grace, their eyes are open to free grace theology. It was dramatic to see me that on one side of the campus you have people who are getting their physical eyes opened, while on the other side of the campus there's guys and you can see their spiritual eyes are being opened.
Well, what kind of spiritual cataracts did they have? What kind of objections did they come at you with or questions they had that you had to cut that away for them to be able to see?
Yeah, let's make that clear. I mean, these are Christians, apparently, at a Bible college, but we're saying that their eyes were being opened. To what? What did they get wrong? What were they opening their eyes to?
Well, I'm certainly not an expert on African or Zambian culture, but from what I was exposed to, they come from a background of spiritism. There are witch doctors in their background. I remember a couple of the students even said their fathers were witch doctors. And so they have a idea of demonic activity behind things and in things. And even though they've come to faith, they now associate with Christianity. That is a big part of their background. And what you see very pronounced, they have a very hard time understanding eternal security and assurance of salvation. I'll give you just one example of what I'm talking about. The very first time I went, I was asked to speak at this church, and it was a Baptist church. And I had to have a translator. When I'm at the school teaching, it's all in English. They understand English very, very, very well. But when I spoke at this church in Lusaka, there were probably 500 people there. And I spoke on the woman at the well. And after the service, the people were up front and they were talking. And of course, I couldn't understand what they were saying. And my translator was there and he goes, "Do you want me to tell you what they're saying?" And I said, "Yeah, what are they saying?" Because I had no idea. They were saying as this large group that they had heard about the woman at the well, but they never realized that the message that Jesus gave to the woman was also for them. They thought it was some story that was only for someone in the Bible, but the idea that they could have eternal life as a free gift, they had never been told that before.
Even though they're Baptists.
Even though they're Baptists and even though they came to this church every Sunday. And so you can see from something like that that, wow, you know, there's a cultural thing or there's something going on here that I'm just not aware of, because that would never occur to me that someone could read that and come away with that conclusion.
Well, you know, Sean had mentioned they're Christians. That's what they identify as, right? They identify as Christians. That's why they're in a Bible college. But we have that a lot here, right? I mean, we have Latter-day Saints call themselves Christians. Jehovah's Witnesses call themselves Christians. All the isms and wasms call themselves Christians, and lots of Protestants who don't believe that you can keep everlasting life, they identify as Christians. So it seems to me these people you were dealing with, at least in some cases, were people who probably were nominal Christians, identifying as Christians, but weren't yet born again when you were teaching them.
I think that's absolutely right. As I looked at what was going on in the medical clinic, I have to be honest with you, I was jealous. I just sat there and said, man, I wish I had the skill to give someone who's blind sight. And as I reflected upon that, I realized that when we give a clear message of the gospel of grace, that's exactly what we're doing, but even to a greater degree. Now, the world doesn't recognize that. And you're right, Bob, it's not just in Zambia. People are blind in every country, including our own. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbeliever. And when we're able to clearly give in the gospel of grace, eternal life in Christ alone through faith, and that we know we have it, the Holy Spirit uses that to remove the spiritual cataracts, if you will, of whoever we're speaking to.
So I'm just wondering, in our ministry, we meet a lot of evangelicals, a lot of Protestants, a lot of Catholics and whatnot. And they all have something in common. I mean, they all, in some way, shape, or form, believe in work salvation. I mean, they'll say, well, we believe in faith apart from work. Some people will say that. But then they'll just kind of wink and say, but we know that genuine faith is a faith that works. You know, we're not saved by faith plus works, but we are saved by faith that works. And so that's just work salvation all over again. And of course, those people object very strongly to the idea that once you have everlasting life, it can't be lost, because they think, of course, it can be lost, because it all depends on if you persevere in faith and good works. I mean, is it the same type of culture in Zambia, that work salvation thinking?
Yes. Now, I would imagine there's different views of it. My experience with the students was that they didn't formulate concretely how they did it, but they all seem to have this in common, that they believed works were involved in somehow of getting in the kingdom of God.
Well, so what verses or what concepts did you share with them to get them to believe that once they're saved, they're always saved? Once they believe in Jesus, they're secure forever.
Well, Catherine and I, we taught two courses. One was the doctrine of salvation. The other one was the book of Romans.
Wow.
And in the class on Romans, I said, okay, before we look at Romans, we got to understand, you know, I was going to teach that the book of Romans is basically being deliverance from God's wrath, temporal wrath. But I said, before we do that, what does a person have to do to go to heaven? So we spent the first 5 hours probably on the woman at the well, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, the Gospel of John, and I drove that home before we got started. Now, in the class on the doctrine of salvation, we did the exact same verses, but that whole course was assurance of salvation. What does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ? What are we believing in him for? And so we had a tremendous amount of freedom to use whatever verses we wanted to use.
And how many students did you have?
We had 45 students this time, and 44 of them when we left. And again, I gave them the GES website. We gave them literature. So however they came to this conclusion or what we discussed in class, 44 of the 45 when we left said, I now know I have eternal life.
Wow.
Through faith alone as a free gift.
Well, I think we might have to talk about some of these reasons and objections that these students had in your class in a next episode, because I'm pretty sure that the questions and objections that the students had are the same questions and objections the listener might have. And I think if we went through those, it might connect with a lot of people. So let's stay tuned for next episode. Stay with us for another episode. And be sure to listen to Grace and Focus on this station, or go to iTunes.com and listen to it there. Or go to our website, faithalone.org, to follow this series.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great conversation. If you're like me, I found myself wanting more. And that's good, because Dr. Kenneth Yates is going to be with us for a few more days. So look forward to that in the coming episodes. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Kenneth Yates, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.